It is gone! A two-run home run for Rhys Hoskins into the second deck for Bryce Harper. Swing and a miss. He got him. And Aaron Nola leads two. Segura on the run. Reaches up and makes the grab.
Swing and a miss. Struck him out.
Now batting for the Phillies, John Stolness.
Hey there, podcast pals, and welcome back to another edition of Hittin' Season. This is episode number 344. I'm John Stolness from The Good Fight. You can follow me on Twitter, at John Stolness. Coming up, we have a full winter meetings recap here for you. We'll run down everything the Phillies did, some of the big Phillies rumors from this week, and talk a little bit about the big signings that went down with some other teams and how that could affect the Phillies and their standing in the National League East. Some trade talk, Chris Bryant, a popular name, being matched to the Phillies, but also to a couple of Phillies rivals, so we'll get into that in just a few minutes, and we'll talk about the future of Odubel Herrera because Matt Klentak had some interesting things to say about that. So no guests on this episode of the podcast. It'll just be you and me rapping about this stuff. And let's get into the winter meetings because they are behind us now. And at the end of the day, the Phillies were pretty active. It's been a pretty active first couple weeks here. They signed, obviously, Zach Wheeler before the winter meetings got underway to that five-year deal. Didi Gregorius, of course, came down earlier this week, a one-year, $14 million deal for him. I kind of gave you the pros and cons of that on episode 343 of the podcast, so no need to jump into that here. But if you didn't hear my Didi Gregorius recap, make sure you check that out. I talked to a writer for Pinstripe Alley, the Yankees SB Nation site, and he gave me the lowdown on Didi Gregorius and his years in New York. You know, it's a match for sure, but could the Phillies do more? Certainly they could do more, but it doesn't appear as though they really are going to do a whole lot more. It sure seems like the Phillies' heavy lifting appears to be done, which still leaves them about $6 million to spend on the rest of their needs if they do plan on staying under the luxury tax. And it sure seems like they plan on staying under the luxury tax. Matt Klentak talked about the Wheeler signing on MLB Network Radio on Sirius XM this week. So let me give you a little bit of that.
And he just kept getting better and better and better. And, you know, the more distance he got from his Tommy John surgery and just the more comfort he got, you know, pitching in this league, it just seems like he's getting better and better. And he's still 29 years old. And, you know, it's rare to sign a free agent and think that there still may be another gear. You know, oftentimes when
which is what you hope you're paying
yeah,
for, right?
That's exactly right. Oftentimes when you get to free agency, you look at just the age of the player and you recognize that you very well may be signing up for some, you know, some of the back half of their career. But in Zach's case, just the kind of the climb he's been on gives us some reason for optimism that he may even still have a chance to be better. And when we pair him with JT Realmuto, who's our primary catcher, I think that gives us a lot of confidence that he may be able to help Zach take another step forward.
As did Joe Girardi.
Well, you look at his last 2 years, they've been outstanding. And the other thing is, I think he's just starting to come into his own and figuring out who he is. And this is a power guy. I mean, this is a guy that can get up to 99, right? I mean, that's not every day from starters. So I'm really excited about, you know, you're combining him with Nola. And you're throwing Arrieta in there, a seasoned vet who's done that and been there. I like how our rotation is shaping up.
So as of now, the Phillies' rotation looks like Aaron Nola, Wheeler, Jake Arrieta. Then I think one of Nick Pivetta or Vince Velasquez and Zach Eflin with Spencer Howard, the Phillies' top prospect, waiting in the wings. And again, I think his season will get delayed somewhat here as they probably want to have him available in August and September. The infield with Gregorius on board looks like Rhys Hoskins at first, Gene Segura at second, Gregorius at shortstop, and Kingery at third. And the bullpen is completely up in the air at this point. I think they're hoping that Sir Anthony Dominguez and Adam Morgan come back healthy because there's really not a whole lot of other options in the free agent market. I mean, maybe they spend a little bit of cash on Dellin Betances. That would not surprise me at all, given that Betances also played for Joe Girardi in New York and until his injury last year had come back and had been a pretty strong reliever for the New York Yankees. But I think there's still a sense that even after getting Zach Wheeler and even after getting Didi Gregorius, that the gap between the Braves and the Nationals and the Phillies, those two teams are still ahead of us. That's the perception that's out there, and I agree with it, that the Phillies have not done enough to close the gap. And, you know, outside of going after Gerrit Cole and Steven Strasburg and Anthony Rendon, I don't know that they're really, you know, that would have been the best and easiest way to close that gap. But this week, all three of those players are gone. The top three free agents and so many of the top 10 free agents are already off the board before we've even hit mid-December. Completely different from last offseason and the last couple offseasons when you had people talking about collusion, owners colluding, GMs working together to hold down the market. That has not been the case this offseason. And you really wonder, why is this offseason different from last offseason? You could argue, of course, that having two pitchers like Gerrit Cole and Steven Strasburg on the market is a rarity and that you don't normally get pitchers like that. But that would explain maybe why those two guys have signed early. But why have so many other players gotten their offers so soon here in the offseason? Are general managers now worried that there will be a baseball stoppage before the next CBA can be announced? Are we just not as worried that there's going to be a luxury tax once the new CBA rolls around and so teams aren't afraid to spend? It doesn't feel like the Phillies are operating that way because the Phillies got started early last offseason too, and my guess is they would have signed Bryce Harper or Manny Machado earlier in the offseason if it seemed like it was going to go that long, if it seemed like Scott Boras wasn't going to hold up the works. But it's funny, this time around, Scott Boras was the agent for Gerrit Cole and Steven Strasburg and Anthony Rendon, and all three of those guys have signed this week at the winter meetings. Boras has a history of letting guys like that just hang out on the market until teams meet the asking price. This time around, teams met the asking price, different from previous offseasons. So I don't know what the difference is. I really don't know what the difference is. But talk about Scott Boras and the week he's having. On Monday, he got Steven Strasburg a $245 million deal from the Nationals. On Tuesday, he got Gerrit Cole a $324 million deal from the Yankees. About a half an hour after I finished the Didi Gregorius podcast and posted that, the Gerrit Cole news broke. What are you going to do? And on Wednesday, Anthony Rendon signed a $245 million deal with the Angels. And that's a huge addition for the Angels. Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani needed another running buddy. And they got a great one. That lineup is going to be fearsome with Joe Adell going to be a part of that team next year. How are they going to get some pitching, though? They were said to be hot and heavy on Gerrit Cole, but it didn't want to go as far as the Yankees went. The Yankees really went above and beyond. They just made a decision that they were going to get Gerrit Cole no matter what it took, no matter how far it took them over the luxury tax. And they did it. They went out and they got Gerrit Cole to a 9-year, $324 million deal. That is so many years and so much money, it's really hard to comprehend. It's hard to comprehend another pitcher beating that deal at any point in the next few years. Somebody will at some point, but it's hard to see how it happens in the next few years. Nevertheless, I think the Yankees did what they had to do. They are now the clear favorites in the American League for the foreseeable future. The Nationals had to re-sign Steven Strasburg. They absolutely had to bring him back after the season he had last year, after what he did in the World Series, after the investment that they made in him back in 2012, when they sidelined him and maybe cost them a shot at the World Series that year. They had the long term in mind with him. They planned on keeping him around for a very, very long time. And to lose him now would have all been worth it because he did win them a World Series last year. But now that investment looks even smarter. And Strasburg talked about wanting to go back to Washington, because now reflecting back on it and with a World Series in his pocket, he understands what the Nationals were doing. I still think the Nationals could have done it a different way and protected Strasburg while still being able to use him, but that's all water under the dam. So the Nationals did what they had to do, but they also lost their third baseman. They lost Anthony Rendon to the Angels, and so now they have a hole to fill at third base. Josh Donaldson is still out there. There are a number of teams that are looking at Josh Donaldson. The Texas Rangers, there were reports about the Rangers on Thursday that the asking price on Rendon is too high for Texas and they're bailing out. So now the teams most rumored to be interested in Rendon are the Braves, the Nationals, and the Minnesota Twins. And I don't think the Twins are outbidding anybody for Anthony Rendon. I don't see it. So, you know, maybe Rendon does go back to, Josh Donaldson does go, I said Rendon. Maybe Donaldson does go to the Twins. Maybe Donaldson does go to the Nationals or the Braves. I was really hoping for the Rangers to, you know, keep him out of the division. The Phillies are already celebrating getting Rendon out of the league. I mean, he's over in the American League. They're never going to see him. Rendon, in 105 career games against the Phillies, had a career 905 OPS against them with 69 home runs. Goodbye, Anthony Rendon. We will not miss you in Philadelphia. But if Josh Donaldson goes back for the Braves, that strengthens the Braves. If they lose him, well, then that certainly brings the Braves a little bit closer to the Phillies. If the Nationals don't get Donaldson after losing Rendon, that brings them a little bit closer. And hey, you know, the Phillies, it doesn't sound like, are anywhere near the Josh Donaldson negotiations, but they should be. They should be willing to go over the luxury tax and make a play for Josh Donaldson here. And if Donaldson's still sitting there late in the offseason, I think everything we're hearing is that the Phillies will go over the tax, but doesn't sound like they're willing to go over the tax right now. And the way teams are spending, I don't think anybody is going to be withering on the vines by the end of the offseason. So Josh Donaldson is probably going to end up with either the Braves or the Nationals, which will, again, move them a little bit further away from the Phillies. And I don't think the Phillies have done quite enough with their additions if Donaldson goes to one of those two places to pull them even. They have a long way to go. By the end of the year last year, they still had a long way to go to catch up to the Nationals and the Braves. Now, let's say that the Braves and Nationals don't get Josh Donaldson and they both need a third baseman. There are trade options out there. And we're going to get into some of those trade options here in just a minute. But Justin Turner is a guy that the Nationals could look to move. I don't think the Phillies are interested in him. They probably should be if he's on, if the Dodgers are offering him up in a trade. The Colorado Rockies seem to indicate that they'd be willing to deal Nolan Arenado, who's signed a long contract extension, but essentially has an opt-out after 2 years. So it's probably more like a two-year deal. But I can't imagine the Phillies giving up what the Rockies would require in order to land Nolan Arenado, who is the best third baseman in baseball. So it's the third base market is still very fluid as of this recording. And really all three teams in the National League East, the Phillies, Braves, and Nationals, could upgrade at third base. Now, I think for the life of me that it's the Phillies are probably going to go with Scott Kingery. At third base, I don't think they're going to add from the outside. They could. They could surprise, and I'm going to get into one guy they could add here in the next couple of minutes, but it seems to me as though they are done with their heavy lifting, and anything else that the Phillies do here this offseason will be getting a lower-tier starting pitcher, maybe just going after bullpen help. That could end up being what they do with their remaining $6 million. Maybe they sign a starting pitcher to a $5 million deal. Not sure who you get at $5 million. I mean, let's say you go out and you get Alex Wood. Is that better than running Nick Pivetta or Vince Velasquez out there? Maybe, because Alex Wood is a left-hander. I would love to see them get Wade Miley. I don't think Wade Miley is going to... I don't think you can get him for $5 million. I mean, look at this. Rick Porcello got a one-year $10 million deal from the Mets this offseason this week. Porcello had a 5.52 ERA in 32 starts last year. He had the highest ERA of any qualified starting pitcher in baseball, and he got $10 million. Since winning the Cy Young in 2016, he has an ERA of 4.65, 4.28, and 5.52 in his last three seasons. He got $10 million. Who are the Phillies going to get that's going to cost $6 million? Nobody worth spending the money on, doesn't sound like. So either go over the tax and get Hyunjin Ryu, or get, and you know, I don't love Madison Bumgarner, but at this point, if you can get Bumgarner on a deal, sure, for the middle of that rotation. Dallas Keuchel on a decent deal, sure. Because I think that would certainly give that rotation a little bit more depth, and you don't have to rely on the idea of running Pivetta and Velasquez out there again drives me a little bit crazy. I am intrigued what Pivetta might do without Chris Young and Gabe Kapler mucking up the works there and confusing everybody with conflicting scouting reports, but I don't know that Nick Pivetta or Vince Velasquez should be considered a real option for the starting rotation in 2020. So I would go get Ryu. Go get Ryu. Go get Bumgarner or go get Keuchel. Go get one of those guys and go over the tax. I can say that. It doesn't sound like that's what John Middleton wants to do. So I don't know how they add a starting pitcher unless they get something through a trade and shed some payroll. So it's unclear if they're going to be able to do that. So the Mets did go out and get Rick Porcello. They've been quiet here this offseason. While the Nationals and the Braves and the Phillies have been very, very busy, the Mets have really been hiding under the covers, watching all of these things happen. They signed Rick Porcello. They signed Michael Wacha to a one-year deal. He went 6-7 last year. 24 starts. He pitched five games out of the bullpen. Had a 4.76 ERA in 126 and two-thirds innings. Now, they're talking about, they're apparently in the trade discussions for guys like Starling Marte and Jackie Bradley Jr. to play center field. But until the Mets pull something like that off, I don't think it's going to happen. But the National League East is super competitive right now. It is absolutely a super competitive division. And Tom Verducci talked a little bit about what the Phillies have done and what the National League East is doing right now on the MLB Network this week.
Yeah, he's an upbeat guy. Teammates love him. Always comes to the park with a smile on his face. Down year, so I like the idea of him reestablishing the value. 279 on-base percentage, that's not going to cut it. That was 2019 for DD. But again, coming off of Tommy John surgery, I think he was still feeling the residual effects, wasn't totally healthy until probably later in the season. But I like the idea of him going back there and trying to reestablish his value with a really good team, and I like the left-handed bat in that lineup.
Yeah.
I like Kingery a lot, so if you start the season with him as your everyday third baseman, I'd be okay with that. Still, Donaldson is so good of a player. I would definitely see if I could get him there, but like what they've done, the National League East, man, I think it was a good division. I mean, there is competition going on. We're seeing that in the offseason.
So before we get to our first break, let's talk about trades, because the trades are probably not going to happen right away. The big free agents have to go off the board first. But once that happens, once all the free agents are off the board, once Josh Donaldson signs, and really probably once the mid-tier starting pitchers sign, that's when you'll see the trade market start to open up here as the offseason goes along. And right now, there is a lot of smoke about the Phillies being involved in trade talks with the Cubs for Chris Bryant. Nowhere does it say the Phillies are seriously engaged in trade talks with Chicago. But there is a lot of speculation among the national writers that there is a match here, specifically Buster Olney. He's been talking a lot about the Phillies and making a trade for Chris Bryant.
What I could see with the Cubs now, they're out in the marketplace right now with Chris Bryant. What I've heard from other teams is that they feel like the Cubs are going to have difficulty moving Bryant because he's going to make so much money through arbitration. 18.5 is projected number for next season. That's going to grow potentially in 2021. So there may not be a big market of bidders for him. And the Phillies, boy, they would make a lot of sense because they do have payroll flexibility. Chris Bryant is a Scott Boras client, and we know that the Phillies work well with that.
And look, there's no one who would love to get Chris Bryant more than me. I think he'd be an unbelievably good addition at third base. The thing here is that the Phillies not only need a third baseman like Chris Bryant, they also need a top starting pitcher. And if you can use one of the few good trade chips that you have, do you want to use that on a guy like Chris Bryant to play third base? Or do you want to just let Scott Kingery play there and wait for Alec Bohm to come up and try and win that job and allow that first round investment, that number three overall pick that you invested in him, allow that guy at a much cheaper price come up and try and win that job either later in the season or next season? Or do you want to give it to a former National League MVP, a guy who is still just 27 years old but is going to make a lot of money in arbitration the next couple of years, and a guy that you're probably going to want to sign to a long-term extension? Chris Bryant has the ability to be one of the top offensive players in the league. He was that last year. He had a 900 OPS last season. His defense suffered a little bit last year, but he can play a couple different places. He can play in a corner outfield, and he can also play third base. But if you only have a couple of really top prospects, and the Phillies have basically two, Alec Bohm and Spencer Howard, do you want to trade one of them in the first place? And if you do, are you going to trade one of them for a top starting pitcher or for a third baseman like Chris Bryant? I would argue that as much as I love Bryant and as much as he would help this offense, this team needs a top-flight starting pitcher more than they need a top third baseman. But here's the rub. Is there a top starting pitcher on the market you could go out and get? I don't know that there is. So maybe you just don't trade anybody. Maybe you just hold on to Spencer Howard and Alec Bohm and see if Bohm can be your third baseman of the future. That's what you drafted him to be, and he's given you no indication that he isn't going to hit at the big league level, although there's still a mile to go before he gets here. And Spencer Howard, your top pitching prospect, we've long complained that the Phillies have not been able to develop a true starting pitching ace since Aaron Nola, and really Nola's the only one since Cole Hamels. Well, Spencer Howard could be that guy. You traded the last one away last offseason in Sixto Sanchez. Do you want to do that again this offseason for Chris Bryant? Listen, Chris Bryant's awesome. But is he worth trading away your only blue chip starting pitching prospect. The kind of pitcher I think if the Phillies were going to make a trade, the guy I'd want to see them go after is somebody, and specifically like Kyle Freeland of the Rockies. And the Rockies are apparently listening on everybody right now. So going over the luxury tax and signing Ryu is the easiest answer. But if the Phillies are not going to go do that, and if they're not, and if Miley and Alex Wood is going to cost too much at this point, and it sounds like they are, then Freeland is a guy that the Phillies should inquire about. In 2018, he was worth 8.4 wins above replacement, according to Baseball Reference. He had a 2.85 ERA in 33 starts in 202 and a third innings. He was fourth in the Cy Young voting in 2018. Last year, he was 26 and fell off a cliff. He was sent to the minors for a couple of months. He made just 22 starts at the big league level, had a 6.73 ERA in 104 and a third innings. His hits per nine went from 8.1 to 10.9. His home run rate was an impossible 2.2 home runs per nine, as opposed to the 0.8 he gave up the season before. His ERA plus went from 166 to 77. How is that even possible? So I would love to see him out of Coors and see what he's got left in the tank. But will Colorado sell low on him? I don't know. And he's also, the other reason the Phillies would be interested is he doesn't cost anything. This is his first year of arbitration as a Super 2. He'll only make a few million dollars this year. So he's a guy you could get in under the luxury tax. I think that's exactly the kind of guy the Phillies should make. And if the luxury tax isn't an issue, then you could try and get Kyle Freeland by also taking on a big contract like Ian Desmond. But there's enough question marks with Kyle Freeland that's probably enough of a risk in and of itself, let alone taking on an Ian Desmond contract with it. And if you're going to go over the tax, then just go get Ryu. You know, there's so many easier ways to handle this. Things get really tricky here by trying to stay under the tax. If you go over the tax, your options open up tremendously. But if they want to stay under the tax, there may not be a way that this deal works out, because I don't think the Rockies are just going to trade Kyle Freeland away for peanuts. It's going to cost you something, and then there's an inherent risk on the Philly side. What caused that ERA to jump? What caused all those home run, the increase in those home runs? What the hell happened to a young left-handed starting pitcher that looked for all the world like he was going to be an ace? And are the Rockies ready to give up on him after one bad season? Because it was a bad season. He was horrible last year. And Jameson Taillon's another name that's been floated. He wouldn't be for 2020, though. He had Tommy John surgery and is going to be out for all of this year, basically. But Ethan Whitty wrote up a good piece on The Good Fight about a trade for Taillon, so make sure you check that out. A couple other names, Robbie Ray and Corey Kluber, are out there. Depending on the ask, I'd be happy with either guy, but the key is the ask. But getting back to Chris Bryant, trading for Bryant would give the Phils a third baseman for the next 2 years. You know, I mean, it kind of is a no-brainer in a way, because he is so good. And reports are that Texas and the Braves and the Phillies and the Dodgers are among the teams in play for Josh Donaldson and Chris Bryant. Nolan Arenado's a wild card. I mean, there's all the third base needy teams could trade for Chris Bryant. Now, I saw that some teams are concerned about Bryant, how much he's going to cost over the next couple of years. He's going to be cheaper than Josh Donaldson is, probably. Maybe 2 years, $45 million over the next couple of years. Maybe you can get Donaldson for a little bit less than that. You'd have to give up better prospects to get Bryant than the pick you would give up, the third-round pick the Phillies would give up for signing Donaldson as a guy who got a qualifying offer. So you can make an argument either way. Again, the easier thing is to just sign Josh Donaldson. That's the easier thing to do. There's also the issue with Bryant's grievance case about his service time manipulation. I think most people think that they're going to rule in the court's going to rule in the Cubs' favor, and so that Bryant will still have 2 years. There'll still be 2 years of team control before he becomes a free agent. If it's only 1 year, then yeah, the asking price goes way down, and the Cubs probably, I would imagine, just hold on to him. So look, the only way you get Chris Bryant is to trade Alec Bohm. Alec Bohm is going to the Cubs in a trade for Chris Bryant, more than likely. You swap a third base prospect for their third baseman. Then the question is, what else do you have to give up? Do you have to give up Scott Kingery? You might. Because I don't think Adam Haseley gets it done, guys, as the number two in this deal. Adam Haseley doesn't get it done as the number two. Nick Pivetta doesn't get it done as the number two. You got to give up something that's going to hurt. Alec Bohm already hurts. You probably have to give up Scott Kingery in a deal for Chris Bryant. And then you probably have to give up a good pitching prospect like Connor Siebold. Nick Pivetta is not getting it done. I think most teams know what Nick Pivetta is. That's not getting it done. So you probably have to give up Connor Siebold and then another lower-level prospect. It has to be a deal that's going to hurt the Phillies for the Cubs to do it. Okay? It can't be, oh, I'd rather not give up this. Instead of Kingery, we'll give him Haseley. That's not how this works. That's not how this works. It's going to hurt to get Chris Bryant. It's going to hurt to get anybody good. You're not going to win the Chris Bryant trade. You're just not. The Cubs are not going to do the deal if the Phillies are going to win it. They're not that desperate to move him. So if you want Chris Bryant, it's going to hurt. And listen, if you don't want to do that deal, I don't blame you. I don't blame you at all. I probably don't do that deal, but let me offer you one more thought. If the Braves trade for Chris Bryant, and there is a lot of heat to that rumor, that's going to be devastating for the Phillies. So maybe one of the reasons that you trade for Chris Bryant is to keep him away from Atlanta, because Atlanta has the top pitching prospects that could entice the Cubs to make a move. Max Fried is the guy that you would be the centerpiece of that deal that the Cubs would jump at in order to make that deal happen. If they ask for Spencer Howard for Chris Bryant, I'm probably not doing the deal, because then you have no young pitching options in the future. The only prospect I'm moving in a Chris Bryant deal is Alec Bohm. Because, again, nobody's really sure if Bohm's future is at third base. Most people think he'll end up either being an outfielder or a first baseman. So that doesn't necessarily solve your long-term third base problem if Bohm does not improve defensively. So there's a lot of moving pieces here. Again, the easiest option is just to go over the tax. But I don't think the Phillies are going to go over the tax right now. Maybe later in the offseason, maybe at the trade deadline. But if you're planning to do that, why wait? If there's a guy out there you know can help you now, go over the tax and get the guy you want. If you just honestly think Scott Kingery at third base, holding down the fort until Alec Bohm gets there, is the best move for this team moving forward, then okay. I don't think that makes them more competitive in 2020. That does not get them close enough to the Braves and the Nationals. Getting Donaldson, trading for Bryant, or trading for another top starting pitcher does. But outside of that, you're still the third best team in the National League East, at least as things stand right now. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about Odubel Herrera's future and some final thoughts on the winter meetings. That's up next right here on Hittin' Season. And we're back on Hittin' Season. So quickly before we finish up here, let's talk a little bit about the future of Odubel Herrera. And this week at the winter meetings, I think Matt Klentak was as clear as he could be about where Herrera stands in the Phils' plans. Obviously, nobody really wants him around anymore. But the Phillies can't cut him because of the domestic violence issue. He's already been penalized for that. So their ability to move on from Odubel Herrera has to be a baseball-related decision. Thankfully, the Phillies appear to have baseball-related excuses to move on from Odubel Herrera. What Matt Klentak talked about this week is talking about the landscape as the team looks at 2020. And he said, it's just a different landscape than before Odubel was suspended. That's the crux of the issue here. Anything that happens from here on out is going to be performance-driven, and he has to earn whatever he's going to get. His standing on our club is impacted by both how he performs, but also what happens around him. Some of this is within his control, and some it is not. And let's remember, Odubel Herrera, for the calendar year before he got suspended, was terrible. He was terrible. His offense disappeared entirely. He couldn't do anything. And you had even before that, there was all the talk about Odubel Herrera's aloofness. And you could see how he would make mental mistakes on the field. You heard rumors from inside the clubhouse that he showed up late for meetings, that he didn't give 100%. He came into camp in 2018 overweight. Or was that 2019? Whatever year that Gabe Kapler said that Odubel was presenting well, I think that was last year, he came into camp overweight. So I think there were many in the organization that were ready to move on from Odubel Herrera before the domestic violence issue started, and it's actually probably complicated things a little bit more. But Klentak did say Adam Haseley is going to be the team's starting center fielder, and that Roman Quinn is going to be in the mix as well. So Odubel Herrera is not in this team's future. He is not going to be a part of this team's future in 2020 or beyond. So that leaves a couple of different options. One, the Phillies can cut him and be on the hook for his salary. The other is they can try and trade him. And you wonder, well, how in the hell are the Phillies going to trade Odubel Herrera, given the domestic violence issue, given the fact he wasn't all that good, and given the fact the team gave him a five-year deal a couple of years ago, and he still has a couple years left on that deal? Well, the Phillies can look at the Angels, Matt Klentak's old organization, for the blueprint. And this is something that Megan Montemuro noted in a piece for The Athletic. The Phillies can package Herrera with a prospect in order to get another team to pay for most of that deal. So send him to a big market team, a big money team that can absorb his contract if you also give that team a prospect. Really, that's what the Phillies should be doing. On the other side of that, with other players, the Phillies should be willing to take on contracts in order to get good young prospects from other teams. Take some of their trash in order to get a little bit of their treasure. The Phillies have not used the power of the purse to do that nearly enough. The Angels found a trade partner for Zach Cozart, an infielder who was making a ton of money, but they also sent along a guy their first round pick from last year in order to get the team to take that Cozart contract. The Phillies should be doing that. The Phillies should be taking other teams' garbage in order to get the good stuff. In this case, the Phillies can reverse engineer that. They can find a big money team that's willing to take Odubel Herrera, take that big money contract, and send a prospect along. I don't know what kind of prospect, but send a prospect along in order to get Odubel Herrera out of their hair and free up money on the luxury tax that maybe allows them to go out and sign Wade Miley or go out and sign Alex Wood or another tier pitcher of that ilk, or to make a trade so that they can maybe trade for Kyle Freeland and take on an Ian Desmond contract or something like that. Something. Figure something out. If they want to move Segura's contract, they could do something similar to that. Send a prospect along with Segura in order to get another team to take all of that deal, because Segura has a lot of money left on his deal, and there are a lot of rumblings that the Phillies don't want Segura around anymore. So that's the kind of thing the Phillies would need to do in order to trade Odubel Herrera. Send a prospect, a top five or top six prospect, along, because the Angels sent Will Wilson, who was their number four rated prospect, the 15th player taken overall in last June's draft, along with Zach Cozart. Sending them to the Giants. The Giants taking that contract in order to get that prospect. It's what the Phillies could do with Odubel Herrera, and the Phillies need to think about trades like that on the receiving end as well. So that's how they move along. Or you just cut Odubel Herrera, you're on the hook for his entire deal, and you're paying a bunch of dead money for a guy who's not doing anything for you at this point. Interesting to see where the Phillies go from there on Odubel Herrera, but it's pretty clear he is not going to be a part of the 2020 Phillies. All right, so some final thoughts here as the winter meetings wrap up. Again, saying screw the luxury tax solves a lot of problems, but that's not where the Phillies are right now. It doesn't seem like they want to do that, and that really is limiting their options. So if Zach Wheeler and Didi Gregorius are the last big moves the Phillies are going to make, what needs to happen for this team to close the gap on the Braves and Nationals? Like I mentioned, some subtraction from those teams helps close the gap. The Phillies did a good job separating themselves from the Mets a little bit with the Zach Wheeler deal, but the Phillies are going to need to have a lot of things go right here at the end in 2020 in order for them to close the gap. Now listen, a lot of guys on the 2019 team underperformed. How much of that was because of Gabe Kapler? How much of that was because of John Mailey? How much of that was because of Chris Young? How many of the returning players are going to be better in 2020 under Joe Girardi, under Joe Dillon, the new hitting coach, under Brian Price, the new pitching coach? It's fair to say some of those guys will probably be better. Some of those guys could have career years. Some of those guys could bounce back. Some of the young players could surprise and develop faster than we think. Scott Kingery takes a leap. Adam Haseley takes a leap, or at least Adam Haseley is consistently great defensively and doesn't kill you offensively. Rhys Hoskins having a bounce back season as a middle of the order guy. If he can play like he did in the first half last year, where he had an OPS over 900, man, oh man, would that be huge, because the Phillies didn't have that in the second half. If you have a hot Rhys Hoskins, or if you have a solid Rhys Hoskins with a solid Bryce Harper and a solid JT Realmuto, and all three of those guys are consistent the whole year, then you have a middle of the order that can match up with anything that the Braves or Nationals can throw at you. The problem was that Harper and Realmuto were terrible offensively in the first half while Hoskins was hot, and then Hoskins went ice cold when Harper and Realmuto heated up. Can you get Harper and Realmuto not to fall off or to start a little bit hotter this year? Can you get Gene Segura, if you keep him, to be a 300 hitter? And can he handle second base? Do you improve defensively that way? Do you get Andrew McCutchen to be the leadoff hitter that he was before he got hurt? He was one of the league's best leadoff hitters before he got hurt. Can he get back to being that, coming off an ACL tear and another year older? Can Kingery improve? Can he handle third base full time? Listen, they went out and got Gregorius this offseason. They need Gregorius to bounce back. There's no guarantee that Didi Gregorius returns to 2018 form or 2017 form or 2016 form. I think he will. He's still young. He's going to be just 30 this year. But he's got to bounce back and be a good player. Aaron Nola needs to be closer to the ace because the Phillies did not get an ace this offseason. They need Aaron Nola to be that guy. They need Zach Wheeler to at least be what he has been and be a little bit better, as you heard Klentak talking about. See if there's another gear there. Can Jake Arrieta, we keep hearing about Jake Arrieta, oh, I can extend my arm, oh, he's finally feeling better. We've heard all that. Jake Arrieta's got to actually do it, and I don't think he can do it. But if he can do it, if he can be a mid-rotation starter, that helps out tremendously. And if they're not going to go get another starting pitcher, then they need at least one of Velasquez, Pivetta, Eflin to step up and be one of the young pitchers that we counted on. They need Spencer Howard to continue progressing and hit the big league level and contribute in some way. And the bullpen, folks, listen, we're going to have to do a whole podcast on the bullpen because I don't know what the hell they're going to do with the bullpen. There's not a lot of options out there in free agency that make you feel good. And the Phillies spent a lot of money in free agency the last couple off seasons, and it didn't help them at all. They need some internal options to pan out. They need some lottery tickets to come in and work out. I have no problem with the Phillies not investing heavily in the bullpen at this point. We saw what Pat Nashak and Tommy Hunter and David Robertson get you when you go big in free agency with bullpen guys. I'm more than fine with this team rolling the dice with young players, and they need to identify which of the young guys in the organization are starters and relievers. I'm not into the idea of Velasquez and Pivetta coming into spring training, trying to be starters, and if they don't get the job, then they move to the bullpen. That hasn't worked with those guys. I think we need to identify who the starters are in this organization and identify who you're going to make a reliever and just do it. Commit to it. Get it in these guys' minds. You're a relief pitcher. We're going to ramp you up to be a reliever, and that's going to be your role. Because a lot of this in-between nonsense, I think that's what part of the problem was with Eniel De Los Santos last year. It kind of worked for Ranger Suarez. Ranger Suarez is a reliever. They need to identify Jojo Romero as a relief pitcher and say, you are a left-handed reliever now. This is your path to the majors. They need to figure out if Adonis Medina is going to be a starter or a reliever and just make it happen. And that's going to solve a lot of problems with the bullpen, you would think, because guys need to know what they're going to do. No more of this nebulous, maybe you're a starter, maybe you're a reliever. For most of these guys, I don't think that works for them. So identify who your bullpen guys are and then try and put together a bullpen. Keep going out on the market and signing a bunch of arms, bring them all into spring training, see which ones are the best, and make your bullpen out of those guys and hope that Sir Anthony Dominguez and Adam Morgan and some of these other young arms in the bullpen, maybe Edubre Ramos can step up. I'm not at all enamored with Edubre Ramos. Maybe J.D. Hammer can be better this year than he was last year. Edgar Garcia has talent. Can he throw strikes? Can you get another good year out of Hector Neris in that splitter? Hector Neris is a good relief pitcher, guys. He might not be the closer you want, but Hector Neris gets the job done far more often than he doesn't. But the bullpen's going to be a whole podcast. We're going to have to talk about and spend a good 20, 30 minutes on the bullpen because I don't know what the Phillies are going to do there. But in the meantime, folks, that is your winter meetings recap here on episode 344 of Hittin' Season. Thanks again for tuning in and for those of you who are Patreon members of the podcast, I appreciate you guys. If you want to be a Patreon member of the podcast and get all of the bonus content that we're putting up there and that we are going to continue to put up there this offseason and during the regular season, go to patreon.com/hittin'season. season. And if you haven't left a rating and a review at Apple Podcasts, we'd ask that you would please do that. Give us a 5-star rating and let us know what you think of the podcast. All right. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. I will talk to you all next time right here on Hittin' Season.